Morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to have been here through the Sunday school, talking about forgiveness and what Jesus has done for us. I'd like to speak this morning on subject of separation again. Some sermons are a little easier to preach than others, I suppose. As far as study, this one wasn't very hard, but sometimes we associate issues or, I don't know, ideas with things that have happened in our lives for various reasons, and some of that made this message a little bit more difficult, I guess, to prepare for. I'd like to talk about separation in our health practices this morning. First of all, turn with me to 1 Timothy. I'd like to look at a number of scriptures here at the beginning. First of all, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3 and 4. As I besought thee still, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. I'd like to stop there and go over to chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, does it matter? Just some questions here to get us thinking. Does it matter if some of the things that we believe are false or fables? What do you think? Does it matter if I believe that, oh, what shall I choose? That some alternative health practice is true, and it is not true. It is false. In fact, it's been proven to be shown that it is false. Does it matter if I still believe that and still practice that? Or is it just one of those things that is just kind of like a non-moral issue? It's neither here nor there. It's neither right nor wrong. Now, another question here, thinking about this first verse here, verses we read. Does it matter if our life serves to make questions rather than answer them? Does it matter? Now, getting into a little bit of a more, sinister of the heart of the matter, as far as some of these seducing spirits. What is a spirit? Okay, from a spirit's perspective, why would he want to seduce you? What's his purpose? It talks about here in verse 10 in chapter 4 that we read, it talks about faith. And I believe that faith in Jesus is a big issue. It's maybe the biggest issue that we can look at. If Satan can come into our lives and replace our faith, then he's got us. Because it's by faith that we're saved. By faith in Jesus, that we are saved. First Thessalonians, let's look at another scripture here. First Thessalonians 5. Just a real short verse here. Yep, I'm in the wrong book here. Well, two verses we should look at. Verse 21, 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. What does it mean to prove? It means to test or to try it and compare it, to analyze it. Prove all things. What are all things that it's talking about? I think this can be applied to a lot of things, but I think some health practices need to have some proving done to them. Also, they're abstain from all appearance of evil, and we're going to get into a little bit of this here in a bit about some of the things that appear to be very evil practices that we need to abstain. In other words, stay away from. And maybe I don't think it's bad. Maybe I think it's fine. But there's an appearance of evil that goes along with it, and it says here to abstain from it. Stay away from it. Especially those things maybe that are have to do with the spirit world, spiritism, and things like that. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All right, what are we talking about? I'm going to be fairly, I don't know what you call it. I'm just going to talk about some practices this morning and why I think that they are very questionable. And there's a lot of things that are, this whole thing of New Age medicine is quite a subject. It's a big subject. But the whole thing of allopathic, or in other words, conventional medicine, I guess that's what you can call it, and alternative medicine is kind of being thrown in a bowl and mixed up these days. There's a lot of practices that just a lot of things don't make sense, okay? There's some things that are weird, if you will. I'm sorry. I want to look at one more scripture here. Acts 8. I overlooked that one. There's something there that I think we need to look at. Before we look at some of the other things, I was getting in a hurry there. Acts 8, let's start reading in verse 6. Philip has gone down to Samaria, and part of that is because of the persecution, and he starts preaching to the people there. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Notice this, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Two things that I think that are outstanding is the money involved, and then also this idea that Simon liked to put forth, this idea that he himself was some great one. Those are two interesting things. Thinking about knowledge, we all want knowledge, we all desire knowledge, we all want to be known in greater or lesser degree that we know something about something or some situation. Think about that. We all like that, I don't know what it is, a feather in our hat or whatever, that we know something about something. And Simon here was no exception. And I think there's a lot of people that get involved in some of these questionable practices. Maybe not in the practices as far as being practiced on them. As being a practitioner in these things, they want to have this feather in their hat that they know something, that there's some great one. It's an interesting phenomenon. Knowledge is not just an all-moral issue. Knowledge and how and the path by which we obtain knowledge, it's not all moral. It's not neither here nor there. It matters. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You can know things. And that's appealing to us humans. That's a temptation, and the desire to learn and the desire to know is even precedes temptation, precedes that temptation in the human race. It's interesting to think about. All right, now I'll talk about some of these other things here. One of the things about New Age medicine that's very interesting is it often goes back into the old culture, and the old Chinese culture is where a lot of it goes back to, and there's nothing new about the New Age, okay? Except its name. That's about it. Everything is pretty much old philosophies that have developed in, particularly in China. And when it comes to this healthcare thing, I say if it sounds like it comes from there, well, you better beware. I'd like to talk about meridian therapy, and I want to do this because this is tied to a lot of other things. I mean, there's, I don't know how many variations of this philosophy, but the philosophy behind meridian therapy is that there's one energy. It's called qi, and that's in Chinese. That means energy. That's what it means. So there's this qi that created all things, but there's a male and there's a female part of qi. And that's yin and yang. And again, if it sounds yin and yang, why, beware. But we know that this energy is not God. And we could maybe... There's some people that say, well, it's just the Chinese way of looking at God that's a little bit different than our Western way of looking at it. I don't think so, and I know so. There's a whole bunch of things about it that are really, really far off. But they say this, that yin is the female part of the qi energy. And when the yin and the yang work together, they create perfect harmony. And yin created heaven and yang created earth. And those two are meant to balance each other out and work in perfect zero harmony is kind of the way that it's put. Now, the meridian therapy comes into, and again, there's all kinds of different philosophies about this, but you have these supposed paths through your body, and this yin and yang flow through your body, and as long as you're healthy, everything is balanced and it works right. But if you're unhealthy, the one got off balanced or got blocked by something that makes you sick. And supposedly, you have 800 plus points in your body that these meridians come near the surface of your body. So if you have a liver problem, it's between this point and this point that they work on to make you well again. I'm not going to explain everything about that. There's a lot of things that are even so ignorant it's embarrassing to talk about. Okay, so hence we have acupuncture. And acupuncture is the There's lots of places you can go in Spokane to get acupuncture done. It's interesting, but where our culture is headed in this whole thing. So what they do is you have a block in your meridian. Maybe you're having a liver problem. Usually they stick with things that are kind of hard to identify. And there's reasons for that too. But it's either a liver problem or a thyroid or, you know, something like that. Something that's a little bit hard to get your hands on and say yes or no. It's not or it is wrong. If something's going wrong with it. So they poke a needle in here and they poke one in here. And that is to allow the blocked flow of this energy to connect with the universal energy, which is yin and yang, and balance itself out again. I mean, it's not a lot of sense there, and I don't like needles that well. But for people that do not like acupuncture, you can do acupressure. And that is simply the medium, or, well, that's kind of an interesting term, but the person that is doing this practice, they can put their fingers on these points, same points, and open themselves up to the universal energies and then have your body healed in that manner. There's a number of things that connect to this meridian therapy. Acupressure, acupuncture, meditation, hypnosis, and chiropractic and herbal therapy. I want to talk about a couple of things here just a little bit. Some of you might be a little scared of the chiropractic thing, because I'm sure a good share of us have been to chiropractors. Some of this stuff is, it's okay. But again, if it sounds fishy, I mean, I don't know. We need to be careful that we're not gullible to some of these practices. I was to a chiropractor once, and we actually had him in our home. He had shown some interest in church and came to church, and when he was at our home, I don't have a lot of time for stories here, but he worked on me. And I have a spot in my back that ever since I had radiation done, it causes me pain. It's always tight. It doesn't always cause pain, but it often does. And I asked him if he could work on that, and he did. And I was pretty impressed with his ability to find it, and he pulled at the right place, and it popped like, you wouldn't believe how many things popped and whatever, and I felt a lot better. And so because of that, I went to his office and actually paid him to work on me this time. And that time there was he did a couple of things that bothered me a little bit. And he'd take my arm and he'd pull on it, and then he'd do some funny things, and I was a little bit nervous about this. Something didn't quite feel right. But anyway, again, he really helped me out, and so I paid him and went on my way. But I come to find out that he was also a kinesiologist. And that's not wrong. That's all right. Kinesiology is simply the study of the muscle, the musculoskeletal system of the body. And that's fine. But he was using applied kinesiology on me, which is muscle testing. Now, back to this chiropractic thing. The reason that I bring it up is because lots of chiropractors Oh, I'm not sure what percentage it is now, but I would say it's close to 70% of chiropractors believe in the universal energies, that whole yin and yang thing, if you will. And the alignment of your joints also aligns you with the universal energies so that your body can function properly. Just be careful where you go, and I don't know. I'm not sure what all the answers are to all that. There is merit. I think there's merit in chiropractic treatment and moving joints to make a person feel better. And there's some merit in that. But when you get into this philosophy that you open yourself up to the devil, to the prince of the power of the air, that we need to stay away from that. And also, I would say along with that is the holistic healing idea. In other words, you can be healed. If you have a sickness, you have a cold, it is because your emotions are out of whack and your spirit is something's out of tune. And see, it's all connected to your spirit, soul, and body. And we are spirit, soul, and body. And some of those things do affect each other. But we want to be careful who we allow to work on our spirit, if you will. Meditation is a wonderful thing. If we are allowing God, if we're meditating, we're opening our mind up to God to let Him speak to us. But if we go to a practitioner that's using meditation to empty our mind so that it might be filled with the whatever energies, well, we need to be very, very cautious and careful. And hypnosis is the same thing. You go to Spokane again, and there's signs all over about people losing weight by hypnosis and many other things. Many, many other things they can do. I have to hurry here. Herbal therapy. And again, God has created herbs, and I do not think that herbs are wrong, but there is many, many herbal therapy type, what do you call it, programs out there by this person and that person that are all connected to this yin and yang thing, okay? Just be careful. Do some study into it before you go pay them however much to buy the stuff. All right, applied kinesiology. I'd like to talk about that just a little bit. So you go to this meridian therapist. Maybe you don't know that that's what it is, but you go there. And one of the things they do is they have to diagnose you with something before they can sell you some pills. And so they'll take your arm and they'll test whether it's strong or whether it's weak. And I had it done to me also. I told you I was at that chiropractor, but I had it done one other time. And I thought it was kind of funny. I didn't figure out. I mean, she didn't have the slightest clue whether my arm was strong or whether it was weak. She just made it up, I think. But anyway. So by that diagnosis that she would think, or she would touch a pressure point or a acupuncture point, whatever you want to call it, and then she would try to figure out if my liver, I don't remember what all was wrong with me. There's a whole list of things that was wrong with me that time. I remember that. Anyway, they use this. I shouldn't make fun of it, but they use this this muscle testing to diagnose. And that is all tied into this whole meridian therapy thing. And there's a lot of practitioners, and even doctors, medical doctors, well, they're buying into some of this stuff, and I don't know. We need to be careful. Like I said, some of this stuff I think is, I don't know, I think it's a fable. Does it matter? Maybe we could say, well, who cares if it's just her way or his way of finding out what's wrong with it? Does it matter? I think it does. And there's some reasons why I think that. It's interesting that you can find out what's wrong with, okay, practitioner can find out what's wrong with my wife by doing this muscle testing on her. But we also found out that she could find out what was wrong with me, even though I wasn't present, by doing the muscle testing on my wife. That's pretty far out, okay? If you're told that first time, you kind of like, oh, I see. The only thing you have to do, the only requirement, is you... Now, in the case of my wife, she'd have to kind of think about me as this doctor is doing this muscle testing, this applied kinesiology. If that's not enough to make you question it, you can also find out what's wrong with you spiritually by muscle testing. You can figure out why you struggle with emotional problems or spiritual problems or whatever. I believe that applied kinesiology is divination. It is the same as water witching. It's the same as an Ouija board. It is a person that is making himself out to be somebody great by finding out knowledge that is not obtained by lawful means. Let me talk about homeopathy a little bit. I think some of us are familiar with that a little bit, but just a warning again, some of this stuff is, again, I'm not sure how much of it is spiritually damaging, and yet we get into some of these things innocently and get involved with some things that are definitely wrong. I think we need to be very careful. Homeopathic medicines are not just medicine that's mixed up at home. Doesn't have anything to do with that. Process of dilution, that you dilute and dilute and dilute a product until it's as you dilute it, the strength becomes greater, supposedly. You can buy homeopathic stuff at Walmart or wherever else you shop, probably. Not all of that is homeopathic. Homeopathic is usually labeled with a C, like a 1C is a 1 to 100 dilution. A 5C is done five times. A C is the 100 number in the Roman numeral system. So, excuse me. So you can get a 5C or you can get a 10C or even a 30C, which they say to about 12C, it is impossible to find any of the original potion that was mixed. It's just solvent, pure solvent. It's diluted. I question whether they can even dilute something that much. I mean, you think about dilution, it's like putting a bottle of Coke into Lake Superior or something like that. I mean, it's seriously what... Maybe it's possible, I don't know. The interesting thing about homeopathic medicine is that it's made to treat your symptom, and it does not heal your symptom. It makes your symptom worse. This is maybe original. This was the original Samuel Hahnemann. But he believed that, okay, if you got an infection in your body, you get a fever, right? So your fever goes up, and that's the body's way of fighting infection. So instead of reducing fever, we'd make fever go up. I'm not sure what herbs he used for that. But anyway, that was the idea of the homeopathic medicines. It's kind of in reverse of what we normally think. Part of the process of making this is you dilute it and then you shake it. And that is a ritual. It's done. It has to be done in the right environment and all that to make it work. And again, I just... witch doctors mix up things like that too sometimes. Reflexology is a reflexologist is a person that works on feet, and this is again is tied to this zone idea in your body. You have these zones, and somehow they all come out in your feet. I've not quite all figured that out. Well, a lot of this stuff I haven't figured out, but. Supposedly on your foot there's all these contact points where the meridians come through your feet, and so you can work on your feet and cure your heart or your liver or anything else that's wrong with you. But again, there's the practitioner in some of these things, there's rituals, and I'm sure it would feel good to have your feet rubbed and all that. I don't doubt that. But it's a ritual, and the practitioner has to open himself up to the universal energies or to some chi or whatever to make this all work. And we don't need any part of that. Kind of thing. There's a lot of different therapies, cranial therapy or therapeutic touch. Again, some of that stuff it's so obvious it's wrong. The practitioner will hold his hands, you know, as close to your head without touching. It's interesting that it's called therapeutic touch, but anyway, they move things around in your, not sure what it is, in your mind, and make you better. Again, there's this opening themselves up to the universal energies, which is the prince of the power of the air, I believe. There's all kinds of... psychic healing. You can use a pendulum to do all kinds of things, or diagnose, or whatever, black box, or things like that. I think that's pretty clear where that all is, too. But as I thought about some of these things, maybe it's unnecessary to preach about it, but we ought to be careful. We ought to be warned. The Bible says we ought to warn. I read there in 1 Timothy 4, we ought to warn that we don't get involved in these things. And I don't think we ought to be a people that are fearful. You know, just so fearful that we don't want to touch or we don't want to get involved with something. But we do need to be careful of who we go to and who we open our life, our mind, our heart up to. But just simply common sense on some of it is a great help. And the other thing, sometimes we don't know. We get into situations where we don't know. And prayer is very valuable. And also the Spirit of God. You might be in somebody's office and something just doesn't feel right. Pay attention to that. Don't just ignore the voice of the Spirit of God. The other thing I would say is openness with brotherhood, or openness, period. Just Satan loves darkness, and he loves to people that are trapped by some of these things. He loves to, well, just don't tell anybody what you did. Just keep it under, and yeah. We don't tell where we go to the doctor and things like that. That's very obviously, that is a part of darkness. The Word of God. Just simply open the Word of God. And some of these people claim to be spiritual and they claim to be really good Christians, and they'll even use Bible verses to perform some of their rituals and things like that. That does not change the source. Satan can quote Bible verses also. I'd like to look a little bit here at spiritual consequences of some of these things, and I kind of hesitate a little bit to share this because sometimes we can, well, this person has this tenacious unbelief, and so they're bound by the spirit of through healthcare or whatever. This is not meant to diagnose that kind of thing. But tenacious unbelief is one of the signs of being bound by some of these things. Just refusal. It can be there in black and white that this is wrong, and just refusal to believe that this is what God says. This is God's word. Also, these three things go right together, right hand in hand, but the dullness of the human spirit to God's spirit. Just simply do not, you know, God's spirit can be speaking and poking and prodding and just refuse to respond in almost an abnormal way. All of us have enough of those tendencies anyway. But the third thing is the hardened heart to the judgment of God. And just, we can talk about God's judgment. We can, God's word can be there and explain powerfully and just harden to God's judgment. I'm going to just read a number of scriptures here. In closing, I have them written down here, so we'll quickly go over them. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee." I know that's Old Testament, but they're an abomination to the Lord then, they're an abomination to the Lord now. Revelation 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 2 Corinthians 11:13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Maybe you're still there. No, because we looked at Acts the last, but 1 Thessalonians 5:21 again. "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That there is holistic healing. The whole spirit, soul, and body being preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to... I'm not here to try to make a big issue out of a small one. I don't believe it's a small issue. This thing of spiritual healing, it's not a small issue. But I just think we ought to be warned. We're in the last times. We have seducing spirits that are sinister. They're serious about getting our soul. They're serious about finding a crack into which to enter. And people have been bound by these things, and they find it very difficult to come free. It's just a warning for us, again, to think about. This whole idea of being separated unto God involves a lot of areas. And this is just one more that I think is very important. Let's kneel in prayer.